Okay. The bottom of Daf, actually the top of Daf, Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph. Yesterday we got into discussing the two Mishnahs on Daf Mem, Mem Amud Aleph, Mem Beis, speak more about the Birchas Shelafaneha. We spoke about making Adama, when you make Adama, when you make Ha'etz, when you make a Shehakol. And the last Mishnah on Amud Beis, Mem Amud Beis, had said that anything that does not grow from the ground, you say a Shehakol. Meat, eggs, etc., mushrooms, anything that Gemara included that at the end, on vinegar, novos, al-gova, you say shahako. That was the first half of the Mishnah. And now today's daf is going to describe and explain the second half of the Mishnah. Let's review that for 1 minute. The second half of the Mishnah, Daf Mem Beis, had said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I'm sorry, Hayulafanav, the second half of the Mishnah. Hayulafanav minim harbe. Let's say you have many types of food in front of you. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imiyesh b'neim imin sheva mavarech, alavu mavarech, v'chabam mavarech al'iz men sheyirtze. So the Mishnah quoted the Machlokas with Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. What do you do in terms of which bracha? You have a number of brachas of choice to say in front of you. Which bracha do you say? So Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have one of the Shiva Minim, one of the seven Minim that Eretz Yisrael is praised about, so that you make a bracha on those. And the Chachamim say, Mavarech al Ezeh Meim Sheyirtze, you make a bracha on whichever food that you want. And the Gemara is now going to discuss for the next, the first half of today's daf is all about that question, about the order of making brachos. When you have a few brachos to make, which one should go first? And we know this is a general principle of whenever you have a lot of mitzvahs to do. Let's say there's rules like Tadir Vishenu Tadir Tadir Kodem, and there's Tadir Mekudash, the Mishnah and Zvachim talk about. Let's say something is more Tadir, but something is more Mekudash. So there's always the order, the way to do mitzvos is always not just about getting it done, but it's about their specific orders and rules and regulations, how to do it. You know, what bracha do you say Friday night? Do you say Bori Per Gafen and then Mekadish HaShabbos, or the opposite? Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. They're always machloksim about the order of doing things, not just about doing things. So this is also, we're going to eat, we have a bunch of things to eat, but Halacha tells us how we're supposed to eat and which brachas we're supposed to say first and which is supposed to say second. Which is more kavod habracha to do. So the Gemara describes that. So the top of Mem Aleph and Aleph, two dots. Amar Ula. Machlokes, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Again, Rabbi Yehuda saying that you have to relate to the Zayin Minim first, and the Chachamim saying that you could make it on whatever you want, what we will call chaviv, whatever you're in the mood for. If I'm in the mood for this, I should make a bracha on that first. Bishabir Chosehan Shavos. The machlokes is about when they have equal brachos. So for example, if you have a grape and you have an apple in front of you, a grape is one of the Shiva Minim. An apple is not one of the Shiva Minim. So now you have the Machlokas. Let's say I want to eat the apple? Let's say you want to eat the apple more. But the grape is Shiva Minim. So you make a Ha'etz on both of them. So what do you do? That's the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, says the Gemara. The Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Min Shiva Adif. Rabbi Yehuda says the Shivas Haminim is the one from the seven special foods of Eretz Yisrael. That's the one that should go first. V'rabbanan Savri Min Chaviv Adif. No, the one that you like more, the one that you want more, that's the one that should go first. That's the Machlokas. Aval B'she'ein B'rchoseihen Shav. And that's... And then you make one bracha and then paters both foods. That's the emphasis. Which one is going to get the ha'etz? You're only going to make a ha'etz on one of them. Aval b'she'ein b'chosehen shavos, but if their brachos are not equal, so then, divrei hakol, mevarech al zeh, v'chozer u'mevarech al zeh. But if the brachos are not equal, so then, what Rashi explains here, one bracha can't pater the other one. If you have one ha'etz and one ha'adama, that's no machlokas. Everybody says you do the more specific bracha first. First you would say ha'etz and then you would say ha'adama. In other words, let's say, the Gemara is emphasizing here, says Rashi, that let's say I have a ha'adama and a ha'etz in front of me. So we just learned in the Mishnah yesterday that if you say a ha'adama b'di'evin on a ha'etz, let's say I say a bari pri ha'adama on an apple, b'di'evin am yotze. I don't say another bracha of ha'etz. So the Mishnah suggests, you might have thought that if maybe we'll save our time saying brachas. And if you have a vegetable and a fruit in front of you, maybe you should just make the bracha on the vegetable, and that'll pater both. Because really, b'di'evid, it's okay for the fruit also. So the Gemara is midayik from the Mishnah that it's not true. Because the only machlokas is where they have the same bracha. That's where the question is about which one should you say. But if it's different brachos, then everybody agrees, says the Gemara, mevarech al zeh, v'chozer, u'mevarech al zeh. There is just an interesting machlokas. The Gemara says that one of the issues here is chavivus, what you want more. So how do you define chavivus? So that's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. And interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. So in Reishit Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says, He's talking about the rules and the regulations, which we'll get to. V'nikra chaviv, this is the first opinion. Hamin haragil lios chaviv alav, afilu im atach hafeitz b'min hasheni. What if I usually like this, but now I'm in the mood for something else? I'm in the mood for the other thing. So says the first day of the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Rush, that you go by what you normally is chaviv to you, even if right now you're not in the mood for it. That's opinion number one. But the second opinion, then this is Sif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. Usually, if he quotes two opinions in the same Sif, but now the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis, Ula Harambam, Im Haya Min Echad Chaviv Lo Yoser, if this other one is Chaviv, etc., 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 Maktim Achaviv Lo Az Ba'osa Sha'a. You go by what you want at that hour. So it's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush, how you define Chavivus, right now or in general. Shulchan Aruch quotes both. It seems like Rova Poskim hold like the Rush. Meaning you go by what's Chaviv always to you, not specifically what you want right now. Okay, so that is the machlokas. Okay, we'll see a little bit more in a little while. Let's read a little more though first. Okay, so the Ula said the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is only when they have equal brachos. But if they don't have equal brachos, so then you say the bracha on one, and then you say a bracha on the other, and you always go, as we learned a couple days ago, the more specific bracha is a greater praise of Hashem, because right, whenever we say, like we say, just saying thanks, or just recognizing in general, that's one mila. But saying thank you for dot, 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 being more specific about it, like dayenu. We don't just say Hashem dayenu. We say ilu this, why do we go through every single, and we're getting into Haggadah already. Why do we say every single ilu, right, if you did this for us, dayenu, 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 because we're focusing on every single step that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, that already we have a Hakaras HaTov for. That's a greater mila of Hakaras HaTov, a greater recognition. So too, when we make brachas, the more specific we are in terms of making our brachos, the greater shevach it is for our Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that's why in general you're supposed to make the more specific one first. Okay. Meisve asks the Gemara, we have a brisa, how you find a stone vezayis. If you have a radish and an olive in front of you, mavarech alat tznon upoter es hazayis. The brisa says you make a brach on the tznon, which is hadama, and then you have in mind that you pat to the olive. So how could that be? We just said that if the brachas are different, you make two brachas, and you can't use the hadama b'di'ebed for the fruit. So what's the brisa talking about? So Gemara says you're right. That's a special case, that brisa. Hacha b'mayaskinan kishahat snon ikar. There's a special case there. You're having a radish dish, and you're dipping it in olives. Olive is just there to as a condiment. It's not there as a real part of the meal, and therefore it's what we call a tafel. And if it's what we call a tafel, a secondary type of food, so then we say it could be niftar, it could be subsumed under the bracha on the ikar, which is the ha'adama. So Gemara says, one second, ihach, if that's true, we run into problems with the next line of that brisa. Eima seifa, Rabbi Yehuda omer, mevarech al hazayis, shazayis mimin shiva. The seifa of that brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda argues, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you'd make a bracha on the olive, which is one of the zayin minim. And the bach adds in, v'chi les leilu Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda not hold of the mishnah that we're going to have this week? Had etznan, kol shiu ikar vimo tfeila, mevarech al ikar poderes atfeila. Right, ikar v'tafel. You have a main dish and you have a secondary part of the dish. You make a brach on the ikar, like we mentioned a couple times last week. If you have a bowl of cereal, you make a brach on the cereal, and you don't make a bracha on the milk. You have French fries with ketchup. You make a bracha on the French fries. You don't make a bracha on the ketchup. You have any type of ikar v'tafel, you always make a bracha on the ikar, and you don't have to make a bracha on the tafel. Because in a couple of days, we'll talk about the lumdis, how that works. Is it that the bracha of the ikar is working for the tafel, or you don't have to make a bracha on the tafel? There are different ways in the mefarshim how to look at that. But lamaisa, that's the halacha. If you make a bracha on the ikar, the tafel does not need a bracha. So here, if we're being mokim, if we're saying that the case of the brisa is that the tznon, the radish is ikar, and the olives is just tafel, so how can Rabbi Yehuda say you make a bracha on the tafel just because it's one of the shivas aminim? Does he argue on that mishnah? So v'chite mahakanami delesley. And if you want to tell me that, yeah, he does argue on that principle. Maybe he doesn't hold the vicar of a tafel. No, that can't be because we have a beferish, another brisa that says he holds of it. V'hatanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer imachmas tznon b'hazayis. If the zayis is just coming for the tznon, for the radish, so mavarech al tznon u'poter es hazayis. So you see, he holds of it. He holds a vicar of a tafel. So we're back to Arkasha. What's going on here? We just said that if you have two brachas, back to the original question of the Gemara. If there are two different brachas to make, we're masma from our Mishnah that you make two separate brachos. You don't pater one with the other, while we have this brisa over here that says you could pater the hadamah of the tznon to work for the ha'etz of the aleph. So the Gemara says, you're right. Li'olam bitznon ikar askinim. We're talking about a case where the tznon is ikar. That's how Rabbi Yehuda could possibly say, you go by one of the Shabbos Aminim. V'chi pligi, Rabbi Yehuda, v'rabanan v'melsa achrisi pligi. No, we misunderstood Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan based on the lack of words in the Braisa. V'chi surei mechsera. Very easy, the Gemara says it sometimes. Missing words, chisurei mechsera. Once read something, that what does it mean, chisurei mechsera? Does it really mean that we're missing, it's always, we're missing words, add in some words. Some say that maybe, I think it was one of these pamphlets that came out from Alei Etzion, one of the Gush Etzion pamphlets. Somebody wrote an article there that maybe Chisurei Mechsera is, you know, it's a chisaron in Ardas. That really, this is what was meant, and originally they wrote in shorthand, and this everybody knew what it meant. But now, over thousands of years, and not over thousands of years at that time, but a couple hundred years, you know, so then it means that it's just, this is what it should be, how it should be understood. But it doesn't mean that it's mamish missing words. But this is how it should be understood. So sometimes that works. Other times, chisurei mechsera, like, changes the whole meaning, like the opposite of what you would have thought. So it's a little difficult to put that in always by chisurei mechsera. But that's a possibility. So, v'hachiktani. But anyway, here it says chisurei mechsera, it's missing, and this is what it should say. In the Braisa, if you have in front of you a radish and an olive, you make a bracha on the radish and not the olive. That's only if it's known, if the radish is ikar. That's the principle of ikar betafel. But if it's known, if the radish is not ikar, so and therefore there are two brachas in front of you have to make. You have to make a hadama and a ha'etz. So then divrei hakom, avarech hazeh, v'chozer avarech hazeh. Then everybody would agree, even Rabbi, even the Chachamim, even Rabbi Yehuda, would say that you first make a bracha on one and then on the other. You can't pater one with the other. If the brachos, if one is, if the stone is ikar. V'shnein, now explaining that, the Braisa continues, v'shmeininim da'alma shebrechosein shavos, mavarech alizamen sheyirtse. If you have two types of foods where everything is equal, you have an apple and an orange, so then you would make on whatever food that you want, says the Tanna Kamma. Rebbe Yehuda omer, mavarech alazayis, shazayis bimin sheva. In other words, we were mocking the Braisa according to Ula, this first opinion, that the whole machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah, whether you choose whichever one you want more, machlokas Rashi Rambam, how you define that? Machlokas Rambam Rashi, how you define that? Or do you make a bracha on one of the Shivas Aminim? So that is only when they are equal brachos, brachosei and shavos. But if they're not brachosei and shavos, then everybody would agree you have to make two brachos. That is all opinion number one in the Gemara. It's interesting, again, most of the stuff we're going to talk about halacha l'maisa, but it's interesting in terms of lamdas. You know, what's the svara, what's behind the machlokas? About whether you should make the bracha first on what you want more, or whether the Shivas Haminim requires the bracha more. Subjective, and how you define objective chavivus in terms of so I think exactly along those lines that chavivus, maybe Rabbi Yehuda is focusing on the hanas hagavra by the bracha. Again, the bracha is what takes this object that Hashem created and lets me get benefit from it. That's what we said on Lamed Hey, it's a mat here. Question, so what's the focus? Should the focus be the hanah that I get? This is allowing me to get hana. It's a matir. Therefore, whatever I want more, chavivus, that makes sense. That's the focus of the bracha. And that would be Rabbi Yehud, that would be the chachamim. Masha'enke, maybe the other opinion is that you have to focus on the shevach of the object itself, a focus on the chefsa, not on the gavra. And a focus on the chefsa, which is the more objective, like Menachem said, the more objective, beautiful, high-level chefsa, that's shivas aminim. And therefore, you would focus on that over the chavivas. So that might be the svar behind the machlokas. Do you focus on the gavra's hana? Do you focus on the chefsa's special qualities? That might be chavivas versus shivas aminim. So the Rush, which says that it's chavivus in general, so maybe he wants to objectify chavivus some way, but it's still focused on the hanas hagavra. Okay, so that issue. Let's do a little more, and then we'll talk a little more halacha l'maisa. Pligi bar Rabbi Yami bar Yitzchak Nafka, right in the middle. Chad Amar machlokes b'shabir chosehen shavos. One says that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda the Chachamim, as we said, is Berchosein Shavos when you have equal brachas. Rabbi Yehuda Savar min Shiva Adif, Rabbanan Savri min Chaviv Adif. That's the machlokas. Okay, when you have equal brachos, you have an apple and you have a grape. So therefore, the machlokas is: do you do Shiva Saminim? Do you do what's Chaviv to you? Aval b'she'ein Berchosein Shavos, Divrei Hakol Mevarech Alzeh v'Chozer Mevarech Alzeh. But if they have not equal brachos, then everybody agrees. You say a separate bracha on each one. The Chad Amar. Now this is a new opinion now. Even if they have different brachos, there's still a machlokas there. Which one should you blank? What did that blank mean? What is that machlokas about? So the Gemara is going to explain it. Bish lamalma da'avar bishah berchosei and shavos machlokas shapir. I understand if, according to the one who says the machlokas is when you have equal brachos, the machlokas is which food do you make the bracha on, and that potters the other food. Where there's not equal brachos, you make two brachos. Where there's equal brachos, the machlokas is which food should you make a bracha on? Which is more shevach to Hashem? Do you use the more special item to make the bracha on, or the one that's more meaningful to you? But one second, you're telling me this second opinion that is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, even when the brachos are not equal. So you have a hadama and you have a ha'etz. So what's the machlokas about? How could one say chaviv and one say, how could one bracha work for the other one? They're different brachos. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's not in terms of making one bracha to pat to the other one. You can never just say a hadama on a vegetable and have in mind the fruit, and this bracha could work for the fruit. That doesn't work. That's not, there's no opinion out there that says that. What's the machlokas about then? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya lehakdim. The whole machlokas is just in order. In order, which bracha do you do first, according to this opinion? According to this opinion, the Chachamim say that you do chavivos first, and the Rabbi Yehuda says you do shivas aminim first. Amar Rabbi Yosef Itamer Rabbi Yitzchak, as Rabbi Yitzchak says, kol ha-muktim b'pasuk zeh muktim lebracha. Just as Rabbi Yitzchak says, even within shivas haminim, whichever is earlier within the bracha goes first. Shne'amar, the pasuk says, eretz chito sa'ora v'gefen te'inav rimon eretz eshem u'nedvash. Wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates. That's the order. You go by the order of the pasuk. Wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, eretz, zeis shemen udvash, and then zeis shemen. So we assume that's oil from tamarim, from dates. So zeis shemen here means dates. Zeis shemen is olives. Vidvash, the honey, comes from the dates. So the last one of the pasuk is dvash tamarim. So just as Rabbi Yitzchak says that there was an order within shivas haminim, so suggests this second opinion of the Gemara, even outside of shivas haminim, that's how there's a machlokas. You see, there's an issue, as we started off this year today, there's always issues what the order was supposed to do mitzvahs in. Not just two mitzvahs that we have in front of us. Even brachos. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us not just to make the bracha, but what the order of the brachas should be. Okay, so that is the issue of hakdama. There is just halacha l'maisa. So what do we paskin? Chavivus? Do we paskin shivas haminim? The Rambam is a big chavivus man. The Rambam seems to say chaviv always wins, like the Chachamim in the Mishnah, even over shivas haminim. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this opinion, but it is the minority opinion. The Rambam says, "Ulrambam im haya hamin echad chaviv lo yoser." If you like one more, bein berchosein shavos, bein einam shavos. The Rambam passes like the second opinion of the Gemara. Even if the brachos are not equal, if one is chaviv to you, bein sheish behem min shiva, bein sheish min shiva, maktib hachaviv lo az ba'osa shah. That is what the Rambam paskins. They always do chavivas. We generally don't seem to hold this way. The first opinion of the Gemara, and this Rabbi, if you want to look in, Rabbi Forst, in his Bracha Sefer, has an arichas on this, but it's a beautiful summary on page 157, 157 through 163. He has the order. It's based on the Rush, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. And that is, there are two general categories. Well, you have two foods that you have the same bracha on, or two foods that you have different brachas on. So what do you do? So let's say I have, like I said, I have two mizonos is. Even that case, let's say I have a cookie and I have some other type of mizonos. Or I have two fruits. So there are two categories that we have to talk about. Same bracha or different brachas. So first, if one bracha on two foods. So one bracha on two foods, what's the rule? Which one do you say a bracha on? So the poskim say, number one, if it's the same bracha, shivas haminim comes first. We pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbah pass on like Chachamim, but we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. So if you have one of the shivas haminim, if you ever let's say you have a fruit dish for dessert, and in the fruit dish there's grapes and oranges and strawberries and pineapples, and you have a whole concoction there, get out one of the get that grape out first and make the bracha on it, bari pri ha'etz, on that grape. Because shivas haminim, that's even where brachas are different. They have some hadamas in there. But shivas haminim comes first if you have a couple of eitzes in there. Number two, if they're both shivas haminim or both not shivas haminim, so within shivas haminim, we just had an order in the Gemara, which we're gonna modify in a minute. But besides that, after the shivas haminim, you go by on the one that is whole, the one that is whole. So sometimes that comes up because, let's say, some certain fruit are cut in half, certain fruit are not cut in half. So then after Shivas Aminim, you go by the Shalem, which we had on Lama Tess on Friday. And then after that, then you have Chavivus. So Chavivus is kind of the lowest on the totem pole. If everything else is equal, Shivas Aminim issue is equal, Shalem is equal, and the only thing is you have an apple and an orange, so then you can go whichever one you want more, that's the one you should make the bracha on. That is all within if you have two foods that are the same bracha in front of you. The kedima for shivas aminim, even if it goes in chutz laaretz, yeah. You say an al ha'etz, you say that, you say a bracha achrona, even if it goes to chutz laaretz. Sorry? Shenishtabcha behen Eretz Yisrael, right? It's foods that Eretz Yisrael is praised about, but not dafka grown in there. You might change the al ha'michya a little bit. You might say va'al ha'peiro seha, or al gafna, because it's talking about its fruits. But the al ha'michya and the al ha'etz is said even on peiros that are grown outside of Israel. So that's all if the bracha is the same. What if the brachas are not the same? So that's the second discussion that you have to have. So then you have the order of brachas. So what's the order of brachas? So I think most of us know this, but there's one or two surprises. Not surprises, but not as well known. Number one, obviously, is hamotzi. Hamotzi is the first bracha that we make, except on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we have to make Kiddush first. That's a whole discussion in the Gemara. That's why we cover the Chalos, because hamotzi is supposed to be first. Right? One of the three reasons we cover the Chalos. The Torah says, Zecher l'man. Man had a covering before on top and on bottom, and as Lukavit Shabbos, so that's why everything's supposed to be covered. After I make Kiddush, now this is a Shabbos meal, now I take off, now it's Lukavit Shabbos. That's why also Tosfos says, you're not supposed to bring any other food to the table before you make Kiddush. Shouldn't be the coleslaw and the pickles, and nothing should be on the table before you make Kiddush. Because everything's supposed to come after you declare this meal as a Shabbos meal, you make Kiddush, boom, then you can uncover the challahs, then you can bring all the food, etc. But the third reason that the Torah quotes is, so the challahs aren't embarrassed. What do you mean the challahs aren't embarrassed? Because you're supposed to make the bracha of Hamotzi first. That's what we're learning right now, because that's the most chashuv bracha. Why aren't you? You have to make Kiddush. You have to make Kiddush. That's a halacha. It's a mitzvah daraisa to make Kiddush. So therefore, but we cover the chalos to kind of cover them up. There's a famous story that I mentioned before about the Gadol Hador. One of the somebody once had the Chafetz Chaim over in his house on a Friday night, and he's so excited. The Gadol Hador is coming to my house. And he gets everything set up on Friday afternoon. The Galilei goes to shul. He brings the Chafetz Chaim home. He's in awe. He's unbelievable. He walks into his house. Says, "Honey, the Chafetz Chaim's here," or whatever he says. He comes in and he sees the table is set beautifully. The candles are lit. Everything is beautiful. The challahs are on the table. Everything's amazing. But the challahs aren't covered. And he sees his wife had fallen asleep on the couch, exhausted from the preparations of the day. And he starts screaming, "How could you embarrass me in front of the Gadol Hador? The challahs aren't covered! I can't believe you! You embarrass me! I'm so upset! So all of a sudden, the Chafetz Chaim turns to him after the guy berated his wife in public. "Why do we cover the challahs?" He says, "What do you know to cover the challahs? You don't embarrass the challahs!" The Chafetz Chaim says, "You ever see any red challahs? You ever see any challahs get embarrassed?" So the Chafetz Chaim says, "What's the point of the halach of covering the challahs? You obviously missed the message. You care more about your challahs than you care about your wife. You know the message. Obviously, challahs don't get embarrassed. The steps on the ramp up to the mizbeach, you know, losigolah ervaschalav, they get embarrassed by seeing the Kohen's erva. Of course not. This is the halach, but it's supposed to teach us messages. So the Chafetz Chaim, you know, you gotta know what the reasons for the halach is and know what the messages are. So, but." Me'ikar hadin, where does that come from? From this Gemara. Because the first hamotzi should be first. That's number one, hamotzi. After hamotzi comes other mizonos cakes. This is all by Ein Berachos and Shabbos. After that comes other types of mizonos. Mizonos all comes after hamotzi. Question is it mizonos that you can eventually make hamotzi on, like cakes and stuff? Or the second types is like other cooked type of mizonos. After all the mizonos, almost all the mizonos, comes wine. That's where wine usually fits in. Wine doesn't come before mizonos. Wine comes after mizonos. So you have hamotzi, mizonos, hagafen, then rice, right? Because that's on a lower level of the totem pole that we discussed. It's the only mizonos born in nefashos. Then fruits of the shivas haminim, te'enim, rimonim, etc. Then after that, other fruits and vegetables. Fruits before vegetables, because fruits are going to be have the eights. Then food that are shahakol. So it's amazing. You have a piece of chicken. That's like eighth on the list. Then drinks that are shahakol. Then if you want to make a berachas hareach, you could do that too here. But that's after all the foods. But that is the order that we have to know. A lot of times we have a meal. That's why if we wash, that's fine. But let's say a lot of times bread isn't a staple of an American society as much as, you know, in European society. So anybody here listening in Israel, so maybe you eat more bread there. But generally, so we're about to make five brachas. So we have to know what to do first, what to know. We don't just go by chavivas. The Rambam says that. We generally don't think the pasuk like the Rambam. So we have to look at our foods, and the greater shevach to Hashem would be the order. We know the order. Now we know that there's such a thing as an order. So you have to look. You have to keep Rabbi Forrest open if you need to remember. Again, page 153 and etc. And to know which brachas to make. Again, it's not so hard. It's not so hard to remember. All the mizonuses, and then agafen, and then rice, and then the ha'etz and shahakos, then the ha'etz and adamas, and then shahakos. So it's not so difficult to remember. But that is regarding the kedima of brachos. Okay, so now we're up to two-thirds of the way down. Upliga. We're up to the word upliga. Everything that we said above, just now, that this pasuk of the Shivas Aminim is to teach me the order of brachos, argues on the following shita. Rabbi Chanan uses this pasuk of the Shivas Aminim, Eretz Chitas Orah Geffen Tein, etc. He uses that to learn something else out, not about the brachas. So that's why it must be that he doesn't hold of this whole concept of kedima. Why? What does he learn from it? So now we get into a couple of kolatar kula inyanim. He learns, Damar Chanan, kol pasuk kula l'shiura ne'emar. Every word in this pasuk is teaching you about a certain measurement that you need in a certain area of halacha. L'shiura ne'emar. So let's go through each one. Chita. What does the word chita teach me? Ditnan. The Mishnah says in Negaim, Hanichlas lebeis hamenuga v'kelav alktefav v'sandalav v'tabosav yadav. There's a halacha that a mitzora house, right? The Inyan of the Yom, this week's parsha. Another dafyomi coincidence. Nothing's a coincidence. All right, so this week's parsha mitzora, talks about mitzora can come on a person's body, on a person's clothing, and on a person's house. If there's saraz on a house and you walk into the house, that is the only type of tumah besides mace that is metame ba'ohel, usually. I walk into the house, and all of a sudden, I become tame. And that's, I have to wait a certain amount of time, etc. Mitzora is chashiv kames, the Gemara says. But only specifically, the mitzora of a tumas saraz of a house is metame ba'ohel. So, there is though a difference. If I walk into a house, and I'm carrying my clothes, I'm not wearing my clothes, or I'm carrying my sandals and my v'tabosav jewelry, if it's a woman, what it can be Madai from here, if you're a man's allowed to wear a ring, v'tabosav biyadav, I don't know. So hu v'hein t'mein miyad. So says the Mishnah, that right when you walk in, everything is tamei immediately. Right away, because the clothing is you're carrying, there is nothing that is on you that would be considered secondary to you, maybe other clothing. But right now, says the there are really two halachos that kick in when you walk into a house. If you walk in right away, whatever goes in is tamei. But the halacha is, let's say you're wearing clothes. If you're wearing clothes, then those clothes are secondary to the person, and therefore they would only become tamei through the person's tumah. Not immediately through the house's tumah. And there's a separate halacha that your clothes only become tumah if you're in the house for a certain amount of time. You become tumah immediately, but for your clothes, as long as they're called your clothes at that moment, that requires a certain amount of time. So says the Mishnah, if you're carrying a shirt, you're not wearing a shirt, that's not you called your clothes at that moment. That's cool. That's going in by itself. That's a shirt going in. That's not your shirt going in. If you're wearing it, so then you're going to have to be there a certain amount of time. But it says, if it's everything's in your hand, then huva hain tamein miyad. Then everything is tummy right away. Hayalabush, kelav, isandalav, biraglav. But if you're wearing your clothes, vitabosav, etzbaosav, and you have the rings on your finger, then hu tummy miyad, then he, the person, is tummy immediately, right when you walk into the house. The hain tahorin ashayisha bechle achilas pras. But they, the clothes, are tahorim until he is in the house enough time to eat a half a loaf of bread, which a couple of days ago we had a Rashi which says that meant a loaf of bread the size of half a loaf is about dalad beitzim, according to Rashi, four eggs size worth of a loaf of bread. Pas chitim vabo pas sa'orin, wheat bread. And not barley bread. Rashi says wheat bread is easier to eat, so it goes faster. Mesiv v'ochlin b'lifton. And lying down and eating it with a dip. Which again, Rashi says, all these are saying that you can eat it quicker. Because if you're sitting down, you're concentrating on your eating. If you're doing haseba, v'ochla b'liftan, and you have a dip, so you eat it, and it takes quickly to dip. So the Maaseh, what does halacha just say? That the word chita in the pasuk is to teach me that what is the shear that you need to stay in the house of tzaraas for your clothes to become tameh? Enough of a shear to eat a kdei achilas pras of wheat bread sitting at a lying down at a table. So therefore, that's the word chita. So it's to teach me that it's chita bread and not seora bread. There is a, that's the first halacha that you learn from the pasuk. The word chita. There is an interesting discussion in Rabbi Yosef Engel. He quotes a tshuva of the Shvus Yaakov, one of the great achronim of the 1700s. He says, what if a woman was mekabelas on herself not to wear special clothes on Yontif? I don't know why a woman would do this, but no, shekila asma shalom lilbush begadim shurag. I'm sorry, her regular clothes shalom lilbush begadim shuragila lilbush beyavim tovim. Ah, now I understand. Maybe she's trying to make sure her husband buys her new clothes, so that she makes a nether that she's not going to wear her normal clothes on Yontif. So the Shvus Yaakov discusses: does that include shoes? Does clothes include shoes? Even nowadays, like clothing stores and shoe stores, right? A lot of times, clothing, right? NBO, everything but shoes. Right, so shoes a lot of times are mufta, right? So are shoes clothes halachically? So even colloquially, we different. So the Shvus Yaakov quotes a Gemara from our Gemara. Look in our Gemara, right? Our Gemara out of left field. He says, look in our Gemara. There's a raya. Our Gemara lists besides the clothing, lavush kelvus sandal. He quotes along with clothing. He says sandala baragla. So it must be, says the Shvus Yaakov, that it is clothes because it's all grouped together. The kalim or begadim and the shoes. That's what the Shvus Yaakov says. But says Rabbi Yosef Engel, just the opposite you learn from our Gemara. Why?
It says rings.
What? It says rings, but it has to say shoes separately. What does it have to say shoes for? It's included in the Begadim. So the fact that it says shoes separately, you're right, rings also. Are rings called, is jewelry clothing in a chinami. But here, do you sell shoes in your store? Oh, Baruch Hashem, another raya. Right? A clothing store without shoes. I mean, the harayas. That's exactly what Rabbi Yosef Engel says. Rabbi Yosef Engel says that you learn from this Gemara that shoes aren't clothing. Right, because so he said another nafkamina is, you know, let's say, what is he? He quotes another nafkamina. I think I wrote it down. Right. There's a halacha that you have to change in Shulchan Aruch clothes. You have to change all your clothes for Shabbos. You have to have new clothes for Shabbos. The question is, you have to have new shoes for Shabbos. Right. Also, the Shulchan Aruch says begadim. So again, this is a halacha that seems to be all about a mitzvah, but an interesting halacha lamaisa and sars. Anyway, it's in Rabbi Yosef Engel. If you want to look further. Okay, that's the first word of the pasuk. Chita, seora, barley. What does that word teach me in the pasuk? Titznan, as it says, the mission ahalas. I said, Baruch Hashem, we're learning a lot of Mishnayos in Taurus today. Etzem kis seora mitame b'mago b'masav inemtame ba'ohel. There's a halacha Moshe b'Sinai that a bone the size of a barley seed, a bone of a niftar of a mace, is mitame b'maga if you touch it, b'masav if you carry it, but ain't a mitame ba'ohel. It's not mitame ba'ohel. Meaning, usually, if there's a niftar, if there's a corpse in a house, a kohen's not allowed to go in. But if there's a part of a body, also a kohen probably can't go in. But if there's only a size of bone, the size of a barley seed, then it's matame, b'magavmasa, but not ba'oel. If it has no meat on it, if it has no flesh. If there's flesh on it, so then maybe it's a different story. But if it's just the bone, so then the kohen would be allowed to go in. So that's the halacha of seora. Gefen? Halacha Moshe, the idea of etzem being not matame ba'oel. Is halacha Moshe b'Sinai. The shear of seora is learned from this pasuk, according to this halacha, according to this shita. Gefen, what is the word? That's the next word in the pasuk. Gefen, grapes. Kedei revius yayin lenazir. Revius yayin for a nazir. Again, as Rashi here explains, there are three halachas that we know nazir is not allowed to do. Nazir can't become tamei meis, a nazir can't cut his hair, and a nazir can't drink wine. But not only can't drink wine, he can't imbibe or consume anything that has to do with grapes. Grape peels, grape seeds, grape juice, anything that has to do with grapes he can't eat. Usually, the shiurim for foods are kezias, the shiurim for liquids are revius. A revius halo, that's the usual liquid measurement and solid measurement. There's a special halacha by Nazir that even solid parts of grapes, let's say I have the dregs of grapes, I also measure it by a revius. So the question is, how do you measure grape peels and seeds and pulp, how do you measure a revius, which is usually a liquid measurement of that? So what's done is displacement. What's displacement? You have a cup of liquid, and you put in the amount of solid that you're supposed to put in, and when you get a revius of liquid that comes out, so then you know how much solid you put in, that's as much as you're not allowed to partake in. So the Rashi explains here that different liquids have different viscosities. Right? How fast do they come out? So if you put grape dregs and solids into water, the water comes out very fast. Water is very light. But if you put it into wine, then the wine comes out much slower. The wine sticks to itself. So you have to put in more into the cup in order to get out a revius of wine. Revius of water comes out very fast. But you have to put in more to get a revius of wine. So the halacha is, how much grape dregs is a kohen, is a nazir not allowed to eat? A revius of wine's measurements. Meaning you have a little bit more to eat because you put in the solid grape dregs, so wine comes out slower. And in order to get a revius of wine outside the container, you have to put more solid stuff in. If it would have been water, you would have had a smaller shear because it takes quicker to get the water out. But put the solids in. We could try experiment after afterwards. But if you put in the solids into wine, it takes slower. So therefore, you have a larger shear that a nazir is allowed to eat, and that is the halacha learned from the word gefen. Or it might even stick above the rim. It might stick above the rim and not come out yet. So that's why it takes more solid inside in order to fill up the cup on the outside. You're right. However, if it's sticking to itself, it's sticking to the rim, but it comes out slower somewhat. The volume. Right, but the Asam Rashi seems to say that Shehayayin Ava Hamayim Kalushim. What's his Lashon? It's doesn't really explain it as much. He says it's Samach, it's thicker. So it sounds like it sticks to itself more. Again, there are people in the room that know more about this than I do. Okay, Te'ena Kegrogeris Lahotzas Shabbos. What is Te'ena, a fig? That's coming to teach me that's the amount that you're not allowed to carry out on Shabbos. All the Mishnayos in the Shabbos that discuss this, a fig amount of material you're not allowed to carry out. Rimon, what about a pomegranate? What does that teach us? Which year? Kedetan, a Mishnah, and Kalim. Call clay bali batim, shiur and kirimonim. Usually, if I have a cup can become tameh. But if the cup gets broken, if the cup gets a hole in it, then it's not called a cup anymore. It's a broken piece. So the question is, how big of a hole do I have to get in my cup in order to say it's not a cup anymore? So Rashi explains, if you have a tiny little hole, you're still going to use it. If you used to use it for barley, you'll use it for nuts. If you used to use it for nuts, you'll use it for, you know, something. Because even with a hole, it's usable. But once it gets the hole the size of a pomegranate, you're not going to use it for anything. So that's the pomegranate. Pomegranate makes sure that the kli is not a kli anymore. Eretz Zei Shemen, what is that phrase teaching me? Amar Biosi Reb Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shiurah Kezesim. The land that all its shiurim are kezias is. Kol Shiurah Kezesim, what do you mean? All. We just had, we just said a bunch that weren't kezias. Ela, it means Eretz Sherof Shiurah Kezesim. It means the land that most of its shiurim are the size of olives. Dvash, what does the word dvash teach me in the Pasuk? Kikosevas agasav yamakipurim. Dvash is dates, tamarim. That is the shear of eating on Yom Kippur. We know the isser of eating on Yom Kippur is different than all the other fast days. Usually it goes by kezias, but by Yom Kippur, it's interesting, the Pasuk does not say lo sochlu on Yom Kippur. All it says is that you have to be ma'ana yourself. You have to put yourself, afflict yourself. You call an nefesh yourself lo se'une. So the Chazal estimated that level of affliction is even if you have a kezias of food, you're still being afflicted. You have to eat a little more. You have to eat the size of a date in order to be out of the state of affliction. So that's the word tamarim is teaching me that shir of Yom Kippur. I don't know, this was his Masorah. I'm not sure exactly why he darshan this way. But he did not use it for the Kadima in the Pasuk. So that's why I'm not sure what motivated him. But so that fine, so that's why what the Gemara says. So this, if you hold that Kadima is learned out, the order of the brachas is learned out from this Pasuk, so then you don't learn all the Shiurim. But then the Gemara says, but what do you mean? Doesn't the first opinion hold of all the Shiurim? We hold of all the Shiurim. So what do we do? How do we learn it? So the Gemara just answers, V'ida chani Shiurim behedya miksive. What? Like Josh just asked, are these shiurim written in the pasuk? It doesn't sound that way. It's a hint. Ela midrabanan v'kras machta b'yalma. But really, we know these shiurim without the pasuk, according to what we hold, and we are somich. We say there's a hint of it in the pasuk, but really, the pasuk is really meant to teach us the kedima of brachos in the order of things. Okay. Period. Rav Chizda, sixth line. Rav Chizda, Rav Amnuna, Habiyasi Besudasa. Rav Chizda, Rav Amnuna was sitting at a meal. Isula come out Timri Brimoni. So they were brought, in front of them was brought dates and pomegranates. Shokal, Rav Amnuna, Baracha Timri Beresha. Rav Amnuna grabbed the pomegranate. I'm sorry, grabbed a date, and he made a bracha on it first. So only Rav Chizda, Losfir Le Mar Lahad Amr Rav Yosef, Vitemer Rav Yitzchak, Kalamuktim Bepasik Zek, Hodim La Bracha. If you look at the Pasik, and it's important to remember the Pasik, it's printed already, we had it on the bottom of the previous Amid. If you look at the Pasik, Rimonim are before Tamarim. You have Eretz, Chita, Usaora, V'Gefen, Uteina, V'Rimon, Eretz Yishem, and Dvash. Dvash is the last word, Dvash Tamarim. So what are you making a bracha on the Tamarim first? He asks him. So Amar Lei, Zesh Sheni La'aretz, Zesh Hamishi La'aretz. No, it's not just about the order of the pasuk. There's another element, and that is, if you look in the pasuk, the word Aretz appears twice. It says Eretz Chita Saora Gefetetav Rimon Eretz Zesh Shemen Udvash. So yes, you go by the order in the pasuk, but there's another element, and that is, if it's closer to the word Aretz, so then that gives it chashivus itself. Because why did it say the word Aretz again? So Chita and Saora go first, but then skip to Zeh Shemen Udvash. And then you get back to the other ones, even though Rimon is right before the second Aretz, but that doesn't matter. We're just going if it's connecting to the word Aretz earlier in the Pasuk. So that's why Rav Hamnuna answers that I had said Tumarim. Tumarim is Sheni La'aretz. It's only the second one to the word Aretz, while Rimonim are fifth to the Aretz, so that's why Rimonim go second. And that's also, by the way, what we paskin. We paskin if you have within Shivas Aminim, so then, besides the Mizonos is all the fruit, so then you would say, you would go by this rule. Amar Lei, so he says a great line after he hears this wonderful phrase, wonderful halacha, Man Yovla Nagri de Parzala V'lesh B'inach. I wish I had metal legs so I could come to all of your shiurim. What a great thing for a Rebbe to hear. Right? As the Rashi says, Raglayim Shel Barzel. He says, I wish I had legs of steel so I could come hear all your shiurim. Okay. That is, so Tosis here points out, what if they're two after the Aretz? Like sometimes, let's say you have Chita and Zei Shemen. If they're equal, Tosis says, then you go by the earlier ones. Chita and Seora beat Zei Shemen and Vash. That's what the second Tosis says. Okay. Itmar. So that was all Kedima. So now we're up to another important halacha. This is the Amud of desserts and appetizers. Here we go. Itmar. Heviu lefnehem te'enim banavim besochasuda. If somebody gets, figs and grapes during his meal. Amar Rav Huna, tu'unim bracha lefneim, b'ein tu'unim bracha lachareihem. So says Rav Huna, you make a bracha before, you have to make a bracha, a ha'eitz, on those fruits, but you don't need a bracha afterwards. In other words, benching is gonna pater, all the food you eat during the meal. Even if it was a ta'ina or a rimon or an oven. Rav Nachman also agrees with Rav Huna, you make a bracha before, not after. Rav Sheshes argues, Rav Sheshes says, benching does not cover the fruit that you eat during the meal. According to Rav Sheshes, you have to make a separate al ha'etz on those fruits. There is nothing that does not require a bracha before it, that requires a bracha before it, and does not require a bracha after it. In other words, there's nothing that you could eat during the meal that would require its own bracha rishona, but can be patered by benching, except possible bakistin bavad, a certain type of mizonos bread, which from tomorrow is the ikar discussion of that. We'll talk all about possible bakistin. So says Rav Sheshes, it's a type of bread that's not, it's usually eaten as a snack food. In one line, that's possible bakistin. Crackers, wafers, tam tams, anything like that, that's possible bakistin, which Beshem will talk more about tomorrow. Yeah. Right, fruit-wise. Yeah, we'll get to the lamais in a minute. But yes, everybody agrees that the question is whether bracha rishona does not work. The question is, what about bracha achrona? There is a machlokas here, just on this line of possible bakistin bavad, between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi seems to say that this possible bakistin does not need a bracha achrona, even if you're eating it after benching. Rashi says, in Rashi Pasuk Baba Kisnin, they used to have a minog that after they benched, they brought this dessert with fruit and spices and grains in it, and because it was just a little davar muat in there, so then it didn't merit getting an ala mechya. You said a bari nefash is even on that. So Tosa says, what are you talking about? After benching? We're not talking about after benching here. After benching, if you have some type of mixture with mizonos, we said earlier, alam etzayim, whatever the daf was, anything that has grain in it, you always have to say mizonos and ala mechya. Right? Except if it's there ladabik, the Gemara says, if it's there for texture. But other than that, you have to make a mizonos ala mechya. So Tosfos argues on Rashi, he says that, no, we're talking about betoch asuda, before benching, which is the pashas of the Gemara. Pashas of the Gemara is that if it's during the meal, that's the whole discussion of the Gemara. Tosfos also points out, we pass in like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. We pass in like the first opinion that benching always covers everything that you eat before benching. The only discussion is the bracha rishona. Let's continue a little bit. Upliga Rabbi Chiya. And this argues, these opinions argue on Rabbi Chiya, the Amr Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya says, relating to what you just said, pas poteres kol minei ma'achal, v'yayin poter kol minei mashkim. No, bread covers everything during the meal, and wine covers all drinks, if you didn't bench, if you didn't wash. So if wine covers all drinks, if you make a bar gafen, and then you're going to have a cup of apple juice, you don't have to make a separate bracha. But and bread covers all foods. Period. There is a discussion the Mishnah Berurah you can look at. We have a little bit of time actually, so I could read it. The Mishnah Berurah says in does the juice have to be on the table? You know, when you for the wine to work. So on Shabbos, we only have wine. I just said we can't bring any drinks to the table yet. We have wine on the table, so the juice isn't there. So we're not going to have to make a separate bracha on the juice because we're going to wash. So the washing is going to cover. But let's say at a kiddush, you're not going to wash. So you're going to make a bari priya gafen, and then you know you're going to want to have a cup of soda. So what is this? How does this halacha relate? So as we do it here, if the sodas are already out, so then there's no problem. There's no bracha on the shahakal, right? If you're yotze with, you know, the bari priya gafen of the Makadesh, and you're yotze kiddush with that, so then no new bracha is needed shahakal because it's there. But what if the drink is not there? If the drink is not there and it comes out only later and you don't have a set meal with wine, the Mishnah Berurah says that needs a separate bracha. The only time that wine is going to cover the shahako later is if it's there, if it's out on the table, or, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're koveya se'uda al hayayin, meaning having a set meal, so that kind of includes. Even, it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah, and he quotes that other opinions hold this way, but he doesn't, that let's say you know about it. You know you're going to bring drinks, but it's not there, and you're not setting your meal up by drinking wine. The Mishnah Berurah says, though others are say you don't need a bracha, I say you do. I say if it's not there and you're not sitting down and having a set meal with wine, so then the Mishnah Berurah says you do have to make a bracha shahakol on those drinks.
What about something in between where, let's say, you there's soda on the table, but you're not going to drink soda. You're going to drink soda that's brought later.
Okay. I think it's okay then. If it's soda and you have in mind maybe to drink some soda and there is soda there, what, you specifically have in mind not to drink that soda?
No.
Or it runs out?
If soda's on the table, runs out, they bring more.
I think that's okay. I think it's okay. No, I don't think I've seen a particular one. I think it's just as long as you have it, come on, to eat some of the soda. There is some soda there. I think it's okay. If you make kiddush on whiskey, so then that's a shahako. No, that's shahako, pata shahako. That's for sure. Then you have other problems of making kiddush on whiskey. But the hilchas brachas aspect of it, so then. Sorry? He's only eating a ravias, right? Okay. So Baruch Hashem. I'm saying you have to know about the issues. Okay. Fine, let's continue. Amar Rav Papa. Very important lines coming up. Amar Rav Papa. Hilchasa. Dvarim Habayim. Every line in this Rav Papa is a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, I think. Hilchasa. Dvarim Habayim. Machbas Hasuda. Besocha Seuda. Einam Tunim Bracha Lolafim Lolacharehim. So let's translate these words. Things that come during the Seuda. Machmas Hasuda. Things that come during the meal, machmas asuda, how would we translate that? As part of the meal, because of the meal, ain't doing a bracha lo lefem lo lacharehem. Doesn't need any brachas. If you're eating something as part of a meal, and it's during the meal, no extra brachas. You said amotzi, you're going to bench. V'shalom machmas asuda, besoch asuda. What if it's shalom machmas asuda? It's not really part of the meal, but you're eating it during the meal. For example, maybe we'll have to see what examples are. So that would require a bracha rishona, but would not require a bracha achrona. But if you're eating something after the meal, so then obviously you need bracha before and bracha after. So what are these three categories? So is it before or after benching? Let's talk about that. So there are three halachas here, our Papa says. So first, let's see Rashi. He's the more mechudish one. We pass him like Tosis. Let's not jump the gun before. First, let's see Rashi, though. Rashi says, what does it mean? Things that come during the meal, because of the meal. Rashi seems to have a very limited definition of what that is. Rashi seems to say, anything you eat with bread. Again, bread was much more of a staple in those days. Anything with bread, so that doesn't require any brachas. But anything that's shalom machmas asuda, and look at what examples Rashi gives for shalom machmas asuda. The first wide line of Rashi, daisa. Daisa is like porridge. Kugel. Kugel. According to Rashi, kugel is shalom machmas asuda. Ukagon vechen kruv v'tardin. She'enon liftan uban l'madon v'lesova. You're eating it to get satiated, says Rashi. But it's still called shalom machmas asuda. According to Rashi, you have to make brachas on all those things. Unless you mamish eat it with bread. According to Rashi, you can make in lots of brachas. But fine, but benching helps. But la'achar asuda, and Rashi has a girsa here, dvarim ha'regilin lovo achar asuda. Rashi says things that usually come after, not the afka you eat it after the suda, but things that are usual to come after the suda, like fruits, etc. So then no matter what, that requires a bracha before and after. So according to Rashi, there are lots of brachas here that you're saying, and he has a very limited definition. What does it mean, machmas ha-suda? Tosfos, though, and we paskin like Tosfos, has, I think, the definition that we're more familiar with. In the middle of Tosfos Hilchasa, Tosfos quotes the Ri, who says, Dvar machmas ha-suda means anything that you usually eat as part of your meal. Not dafka that you eat it with bread. But you eat it as part of your meal, any type, anything that's lisova. It might be, it seems like Rashi holds, machmas ha-suda means anything you eat with bread. Tosfos has a little expanded definition. No, anything you usually eat to get satiated. So anything during your meal that you're eating to get satiated, that's called machmas ha-suda b'soch ha-suda, and that's what we hold. No brachas. So anything during your meal, kugels and any soup and chicken, anything like that, that does not require, even though you're not eating it with bread, we pass them like Tosfos, that you do not require any brachas on that. But what about the second line of Rav Papa? Shalom machmas ha-suda b'soch ha-suda. What if it's shalom machmas ha-suda? So then, what does that mean? So that's something that really doesn't have to do with a meal. So that's the big issue of appetizers. Major machlokas ha-poskim. What to do about let's say you start off the meal with a grapefruit, or melon, or a fruit salad. Is that really part of your meal? You're eating that to get satiated, or you're eating that to cool off? You're eating that as a separate idea. Right? We're not eating that to get full. We're eating that. We're like, we want the challenge. We're eating that because our wives make us eat it. But what, you know, what's, what? Right? Appetite. That's a major machlokas. So there's not really, you can look in the brachas books, in the halachas, you know, it's not clear, the poskim aren't really 100% clear what to do about appetizers. If you eat it with bread, let's say, as you eat a piece of grapefruit, you eat a piece of challah, then you're okay, then you're safe. Because then it's obviously part of the suda, you're eating it with bread, you don't have to eat every bite with bread. One bite with bread, eat the first bite with bread, then you're covered. But again, otherwise, it's a big, big, big question, because appetite, is that really part of the meal or not? That's the beginning of the meal. Now we'll get to the end of the meal. That's a little more clear. That is the last line, yeah? So then that's part of the meal. Gefilte fish, I would say, is part of the meal. That's different than grapefruit, right? Fish and meatballs, I would say, is not together, but fish and meatballs is, I would say, is part of the meal. Then Tosfos, look at the second to last Tosfos of Tosfos La'achar. Tosfos says, V'achshav ein lanu din zeh. We don't have this issue of La'achar asuda, because in the olden days, they used to have desserts after the meal, says Tosfos. Dein minok shalonu limshach yidinim in apas klala la'achar berchaz amazon. We eat bread all the way till benching. Tosfos seems to say that we always eat bread all the way until benching. So there's no such thing as making a bracha on desserts. But there's a question, what about nowadays? Nowadays, a lot of times, we don't eat bread after we clear the table. We clear the table and we bring out the dessert. Clear out the dessert. So if that's the case, and the pashtus is that dessert needs a bracha, needs separate brachas. I'm quoting now from the Rabbi Bonner's book on Hilchos Brachas. Fruit requires its own, and he talks about all the different types of desserts. Lamaisa, almost every dessert, if you're eating it as a dessert, like we eat it, and not as a, you know, satiation, you know, so then every dessert, no matter what bracha it is, ha'etz, mizona, shahakol, no matter what it is, it requires its own bracha. So that's not part of the meal. Say that my father eats his applesauce with challah. Okay, so he wouldn't require it. If you eat challah with it. But most, if you eat an ice cream cone, if you're going to eat something else, you know, so then that will require its own bracha. Fruit requires its own bracha, whether eaten at the end of a meal, as a dessert, as one of the courses of the meal, or as a snack between courses, right? He paskins fruits, paskins like those appetizer shitas, etc. Since fruit is intrinsically a dessert, it is not covered by the brachas hamotzi. Next, ice cream, sherbet, candy. All those and the like are eaten during the course of a meal or for dessert. A shahakol is required. Right, all these, right? People think it's only ha'etz, but many poskim say it's any bracha. Cake and other mizonos products, which are eaten primarily to satisfy one's urge for sweets rather than to satiate his appetite, are not covered by the bracha on the bread, and very many mizonos is required. There are exceptions. If you're eating dessert as an integral part of the meal, if your main course is a fruit cup, so then, okay, you won't have to make a separate bracha on the fruit cup. That's very unusual. In general, no matter what you're eating as dessert, is going to require a bracha, except if you're eating it mamish with bread. But we paskin like the first shitos that hamotzi covers everything for bracha achrona. Only bracha rishona. That's the only discussion for desserts. But if not, unless, let's say, if you're eating dessert and the food is still on the table and you're still eating, which is unusual, usually it's dafka to end off this way so you clear the table beforehand, but if it's you're eating dessert in a main food type of way, then you wouldn't make a bracha. But generally, how we eat desserts, you know, they would require its own bracha.
The brachas hamazon, though, carves everything?
Yes. Brachas hamazon, as long as you're eating it before the brachas hamazon, it requires everything.
Why say it needs a bracha afterwards?
Wait, but that's according to which shita? according to Rav Sheshes. We don't pass like Rav Sheshes. Right? Okay, so that is what Tosfos says. Okay, we're up to Shalwas Ben Zoma. Baruch Hashem, we'll continue. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow. Agutin Chodesh. Amen.
So, sometimes at a fancy dinner, they bring you like ISIS in between to cleanse the palate. Mashmah, you have to make a bracha.
Really? I never had that, yeah.
You know.